Well, welcome back to Small Town Girl with Gwen Falconberry. I'm here today with Colt Shelby. He is the Libertarian candidate for governor running against Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And he's from my neck of the woods. And so I'm looking forward to interviewing him today, giving readers and listeners a chance to kind of get a sneak preview of his campaign and see what kind of opposition he can offer. Southern Loft believes that your home should reflect your unique personality. That's why they offer a wide variety of stylish furniture pieces that are perfect for any taste. Whether you're looking for a new sofa for your living room or a sleek dining table for your kitchen, they have just what you need. So when looking for that piece of furniture that reflects you, visit Southern Loft at 3155 North College in Fayetteville or call at 479-856-6100. We'll get right to it. Welcome, Colt Shelby.
Thanks for having me, Gwen.
So, Colt, tell us a little bit about you. You grew up Cecil area.
So I spent almost 42 years now in Cecil, Arkansas, and it's been my home. Actually, my family's sixth generation to that community, and I've bought some acreage there, started a little farm, and I've been married for 19 years to Elizabeth Burt, which she's from Charleston, and she's also a sixth generation from the area.
Okay.
So we have three beautiful children. One's 22, one's 21, and one's 9. I'm not going to tell you which one's my favorite, but I've worked in the oil and gas industry for almost 24 years. So I come out of high school and I went straight to work, and a few years later, my wife, she couldn't decide what she wanted to be, so she started helping out at the County Line School, decided she really liked helping the kids, so she became a teacher, and she taught 5th and 6th grade for quite a few years there, and then now she's a librarian and loves to read, and she's the brains behind everything, and, she's a very, very big supporter of me and anything I do, and there's a story I might tell you later about that, but she's kind of the backbone to all of this, and she wants to get involved, she wants to get engaged. I'm like, no, hang tight, because it's a lot to take in. And but back to me being there, and my mom and dad, they've been married for 44 years, and had a really good upbringing, and I've just been blessed in so many ways I couldn't never explain.
Well, we have a lot in common with those things that you've described. My parents, of course, I met your dad out there, and he went to school with my dad at County Line. Yeah, he's a little bit younger. And my parents have been married, 60 years now, and just our families go back generations and generations on that land and in that area. Tell me, so you go to school at County Line, you graduate, you go into the oil field to work. Did you ever imagine yourself in politics or have any political ambitions?
None. I never had a political ambition one. In fact, my voting record shows that because, we'd lived a life to where it was real peaceful. There was, Stubblefield's been our senator for years, and, everything's just left alone. Our way of life is always the same. You wake up in the morning, you drink your coffee, wait till the sun comes up, and then you go on the farm. And so many people live that.
Yeah.
But the last few years, things have changed pretty dramatically for us in Franklin County, of course, that. Mm-hmm. But, it's never one time has it ever crossed that I would ever join the political world.
So just kind of... Just as long as government leaves you alone, that's just live your life. That's
pay my taxes. Go to church, go home.
Yeah,
and enjoy the family while you can, and then go back to work. And
so, what got you interested? What got you engaged?
Pandora's box.
Okay.
So we, October of 24, they announced. I was actually in Jow, New Mexico, working, and I got a text, and so. I hear there's going to be a an announcement on KDYN. Okay. We listened to it, and they're going to build a 3,000-bed prison in Cecil, Arkansas. So, of course, we're all like, what? What are we going to put a 3,000-bed prison? And comes out, it was on Vesta. It's 4 miles from where I live, and I got some property about a mile north of where the proposed site is. So we take to action. You know, we start calling people. I called 135 legislators. It's pitiful, the result of people that feedback I got back. I was very upset with that.
Yes.
So automatically, I've already lost trust in my government.
Yes.
Because, you know, they make good money considering how many days they actually work. I know they got a big job, and they got a very important job. But the reaction that I got out of 135 legislators was very sad and disappointing.
So would you say before that you did trust your legislators? You trusted the government to be
doing
absolutely.
Their job? They left me alone. Life was great.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, they leave me alone, I left them alone.
But you need it, there's a problem that comes up, this prison, and this is your friends and family, your community, that you're concerned, you're sharing your concerns about it, and you need your legislators then.
Yeah.
And you did what a citizen should do. You called, you tried to contact them, and what kind of response did you get?
Oh, it was, you know, there were some that were really good and willing to listen. They knew nothing about the prison either. And so they were eager to listen and hear. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some were, you know, they just didn't care. A lot of not care. But this was the early stages of it, right? Mm-hmm. So we hadn't really evolved into the full knowledge of.
I remember because I experienced it the same way. You know, heard about it on KDYN, which is our local radio station, and it was the governor announced it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of our legislators seem to not know about it themselves in our district, or not know much.
Well, almost 2 years later, and it's still almost the same.
Yeah.
They know it's a big deal. They know a few details about it, but they don't know the specifics mm-hmm. of why it's such a poor decision. And, you know, I would like to see more trust in our state government.
Yes.
Like, a person like me who thinks that, you know, let them guys do what they're paid to do.
Right.
And then when we need you, answer.
Yes.
You know, be that voice for us in Little Rock.
So what happened? So you and the community start, you know, mobilizing. You contact your legislators. You don't get much feedback. You have a few who express concern and listen. And then what happened next?
Pack up and head to Little Rock. Start shaking hands and meeting these guys eye to eye. And when you're sitting down there and you're actually looking them in the eyes, you'll hear a different story. They're not so, you know, because you could look online and see what they look like. So I knew what every legislator mm-hmm. looked like. You know, I had a photographic memory. I knew who was who. When we went down there, I'd go up and I'd go right to them and I'd ask them why they're for this. And they would either say, well, I'm, you know, they wouldn't give you a direct answer. It was more of, well, I'm still looking into that. But then they'd walk in the...
I've been there. I've done this exact same thing with the Learns Act and you know, education issues. And I know... I mean, I know how they do. So what made you, so you go from being, you know, living a quiet life, working, taking care of your family and your farm, what made you decide to go to Little Rock and start getting involved and lead out on this?
Well, that's when you start seeing all the other issues with the state, right? So it started out with just the prison, okay? The one... I'd call it a minor issue now. Mm-hmm. It's a major issue, but it's minor because I think we've got a handle on it. But then you start looking at all these other issues across the state, all the veterans that are going hungry, you know, the homeless that are sitting on the streets, the elderly that can't get food because we're not funding them enough. But we can sit here and say we're going to spend $1 billion on a prison, but we're not going to feed these people, but we're a pro-life state. So I'm trying to put all this stuff together of are we Christians or are we not? Are we going to do what we say or are we going to do what we want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And the best I could say, and this is from a guy that hasn't been doing it very long, mm-hmm. is the lack of executives we have in our state government is awful. Mm-hmm. These people we appoint to these positions aren't qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And the business that I come in, you're the best one gets that position.
Yeah.
That's how you delegate work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that if I had the opportunity, I could bring that. I could delegate, because I know some really good people. And Arkansas is really, we don't have to go outside of Arkansas to find good people.
I've always thought that, yeah.
And, but we venture out to these people, and then you look them up, and I'm not saying any names, but if you look them up, they would never work on that Senate floor or in that House of Representatives, because they'd never get voted in, because they'd be shamed from day one.
Yeah.
But we're going to elect these into secretary positions.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some major issues with the way that that is ran. Can I, could I make a change as a state representative? A little bit. A senator? Maybe a little bit. But as a governor, being the executive of having the opportunity to let legislators legislate and not be controlled by somebody, letting the judges be judges and not be controlled by somebody, letting the schools put more local control, letting them be in charge of their schools, the police force being in charge of the police force, taking some red tape away. I mean, does this not sound like a common sense approach?
Sounds pretty good to me. So, but I want to back up because I think it's one of the most intriguing and I think important parts of your story that that folks will relate to is what made you go from being not being engaged with politics really and just living your life to going to Little Rock. Why did you decide you had to do, like, you had to get involved, you had to do something?
Because nobody was listening. Our voice was not being heard. I mean, we had a representative that was on his way out, and, you know, we had Senator Gary Stubblefield fighting for us, but his health wasn't that great. And then you had Brian King over there in Green Forest fighting like tooth and nail, but nobody's listening. So, I mean, you know, voice in numbers. You start loading people up, going down to Little Rock and making a difference. They have to listen at that point. They don't have to answer your phone calls. They don't have to reply back to your emails. But when you're sitting there in front of them, they'll stop and they'll listen.
And was this because this is happening at home? Like before, you'd just kind of been able to not, you didn't have to pay a lot of attention to what was going on?
Yeah, because of the original, the prison. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, but when they're about to put this prison right there, that was when you, it kind of woke something up in you, didn't
yeah,
it? Yeah.
It's, this is government overreach.
Yeah, yeah. Why? I can really relate to that, you know, because like I was telling you, I was just living my life, never had any political ambitions either, and, you know, teaching and taking care of my kids and, you know, playing the piano at my church and got recruited to run for office. And it was then that I really, you know, kind of dove into state politics and started understanding some things, the way some things worked, what some of our laws were, stuff that didn't make sense, things that I thought, you know, common sense could,
yeah,
could
it's
fix.
Easy solution.
Yeah. And then, and really, even though, you know, I never got the opportunity to work in the legislature, I've kind of stayed engaged and interested. It's like once you sort of wake up to some of that, it's like you see it, you can't unsee it.
It's an albatross. It's a bad dream.
It really sort of is.
It's a bad dream.
But I do think that the reason I wanted to hit on that, because I do think that that's something important, Colt, because you're a good man, and you're a normal citizen, you know, like I was, and kind of and just want to live your life, you know, not power hungry, not looking for, you know, the spotlight, but you did sort of become awakened to problems that needed solving in the state and the amount of tomfoolery that's going on in our leadership. And so it, you decided to get engaged. And I do think maybe that is happening with more people in our state, and I think it's going to have to for us to ever
make the difference,
get things changed.
It's the only way we're going to make the change. And you know, there's so many issues going on. I mean, the prison, yeah, it is one, but there we got so many problems right now. And if we don't start getting in front of these problems, then they're just going to be more problems and more problems. And we're worried about, you know, kicking boys out of girls' locker room. When was the last boy in a girls' locker room? I mean, I don't I've talked to people all across the state. Nobody knows this answer. It's, you know, we're worried about pro-life. No, we're worried about pro-birth. Mm-hmm. And I get that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a pro-birth guy. Mm-hmm. But what I don't get is, why are we letting these people starve? Why mm-hmm. are we not taking care of our elderly? Why are we not taking care of our children?
Yeah.
You know, education, which I know you're really big on. And you know, we kind of discussed a little bit of that earlier, but learns is breaking us. You know, is that the best route? Like, when do you tap out? When do you give up? You said you've seen this early on, right? Like, mm-hmm. you've seen the numbers, and the data's there from Arizona.
Yeah.
They were up to $1 billion mm-hmm. shutting down public schools. And when they finally do decide to redirect the funds from the public school mm-hmm. to the private schools, they're going to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
They've already took away the federal funding.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to be the next step? Mm-hmm. And I love public schools.
Yeah, me too.
You know, because that was the education that I was given, mm-hmm. and I learned so many great things about it. But our private schools and our homeschool kids, they do well. They've done mm-hmm. well for years.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, what, 75,000 kids roughly in there?
Something like that.
A small, small percentage of the 475,000 that's in public schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to give more emphasis on that.
Well, and we follow our Constitution, right? Either that or get rid of it, you know.
Well,
but because our Constitution guarantees that to our kids and to our students, and I think that it's just a bastion of democracy. It's one of the few things we have left that gives us a common, you know, a commonality, a background, and an equalizer. But anyway, don't get me started with that. What are the things, you know, as you started educating yourself about the prison, and let's talk about it a minute.
Okay.
So how do you feel about the prison? Is it that you don't want it in Franklin County or you don't want it at all?
No. So the deal with the prison is the thing that makes me the angriest of the whole thing is the lack of transparency that was given to our state reps.
Yes.
And that is the awfulest slap in the face they could have given to any person. Mm-hmm. Our county judges, you know, we keep overlooking our county judges and our quorum courts,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of the libertarians. You know, we want local control. Let
yes.
the people decide. The person you're going to the feed store with, the person you're going to the coffee shop with, those people will look you in the eyes and tell you what they need, what they don't need, and come out as a community together mm-hmm. with it. So the lack of transparency is the number one. But the physical irresponsibility of the whole thing. They can't even give you a number of what it's going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's mentioned the operating cost
mm-hmm.
when we could get numbers from Utah, we could get numbers from anywhere, but we know that we're going to have to buy water.
Yes.
And if you can compare that to places in Arkansas where we currently buy water, it's over $1 million for 800 prisoners. So when you're looking at those numbers and you call yourself a conservative, like, you know where the taxpayers pay that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So when I'm going to do this to the oil field industry. When you plan an oil well, you plan that well based off from the end of life. Whenever
okay.
that thing's turned back to, not when you drill it, not where you drill it, it's end of life. Whenever you plug and abandon that well and you put it back to normal ground,
mm-hmm.
that's how you plan.
Okay.
And we're doing that completely backwards. We're wanting to put something in a place that our GIS group did the most awfulest job of studies I've ever seen. I don't know if you've ever seen that report.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my. It's horrible. From the workforce to the infrastructure.
Oh, yes, I have.
Okay.
I have seen that. I didn't know what it was called, but I've
yeah.
seen that. Yeah, it's crazy.
So it is the most awful reporting. And if that is the best Arkansas has, we need to find better people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was poor information given or it was poor information pushed on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's inaccurate. And we've proved that time and time again with actually HR folks that live there, with geological mm-hmm. folks that live there. So everything that they put out from the governor's office is baloney.
Why do you think she won't let that go?
That we don't know. I mean, I think it's probably the way she does everything else. You know, it's kind of a control problem. And I look at it like this. You know, I've been running crews and a leader for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
right? I failed a bunch. I mean, I still fail.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when I fail, I know when I need to back up and try again and mm-hmm. try something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I see from her characteristics now is somebody that's never failed. She's never had to lead before. you know, a press secretary and a business degree is not going to give you the opportunity to fail, mm-hmm. right? And so now she's over people, and she's not listening to the people, or she's putting the wrong people in the wrong positions. Mm-hmm. So she's, until she accepts the fact that, our governor accepts that she's wrong and that she needs better people, then she's going to continue to fail.
So what would you do to solve the problem of overcrowded jails?
So, you know,
because that's what I hear.
It is. It is big. Know? It is big, especially in Washington County. You know, eight counties make up 2/3 of the crime, right? And the county backup. So I guess the rest of the state's going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And that's just how, that's how it's set up, because we got all these laws in place. There's the number one thing we could do is mental health. So about 3,000 of those inmates are mentally ill, mm-hmm. and need help. But we don't have the facilities to do that, to provide okay. that. So what do? We got Calico Rock. I went to Calico Rock last March, met with the warden. Great guys there. They're 98% staffed all the time. Mm-hmm. They've actually got the plan. They've got the water. They've got an endless water reservoir. They have to upgrade the sewer system. But they've got a plan for 525 beds, already been engineered. All they got to do is sign and check, and within a year's time, that'll take care of 525 of those beds. Now, I think we should get in front of crime. I kind of go with Brian King on this deal. Mm-hmm. We need our law enforcement to, you know, county cops aren't making anything. Everybody's going to the city. Everybody's going to all these other places because they're not making any money. We're going to have to fund these counties to get more money back in them. And I think they've got a plan. He's got a plan to redirect some funds, like $2 million to each county. Hopefully, mm-hmm. we could do that. But they're going to have to manage it also, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're going to have good managers of people in local government to be able to handle that amount of more money coming in, and then where to direct it to, whether it's crime, whether it's infrastructure, whatever it may be. But I think that's something that we need to put back in place.
Okay. And how does that translate to helping with the overcrowding?
Well, the overcrowding with the beds first, and then mm-hmm. the mental health second, and then your overcrowding is done.
Okay.
You know, because right now we got 1,600 in county backup. But some counties actually make a little bit of money off from it, like your smaller counties, mm-hmm. Franklin County, Logan mm-hmm. County. Mm-hmm. They'll make a little bit of money. But I think the last I've seen, Washington County was like $82 a person per day, mm-hmm. and the state pays $38 or $40 a day. Yeah. So they do lose quite a bit of money. We don't want the counties losing that money because they're losing. But we do have a plan in place to build a prison. Now, the next thing is the Board of Corrections said, hey, if we need beds, well, the prior Board of Corrections, the actual people that are Board of Corrections that actually did the job, not the new ones. You know.
So explain that to listeners in case they don't know.
Well, so just a few months ago, can I use names on here?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So Jamie Barker was a staffer for Governor Sanders. Mm-hmm. And then one day he decides he wants to quit being a staffer and join a lobbying firm, be partners, not just join it, but partner with this firm, Barker Davis Gilmore Strategies. Then within a week's time, all of a sudden he gets appointed to the Board of Corrections, which doesn't make money. You know, the board members don't make money. They get per diem. Mm-hmm. So now our governor has appointed two lobbyists on the Board of Corrections, over $700 million worth of contracts. Now, our ethics says that they should not be associated with any decisions made with anything that their lobbying group does. Well, guess what? They do. So I don't know how they're going to figure that out, but I know it's not right. Mm-hmm. I know it's not fair to the taxpayers of Arkansas. But the way they took the board over was, so you had two guys, Lee Watson and Dubs Byers, both were on the Board of Corrections for many, many years. They both have care and compassion for the inmates and the understanding of the system. Okay. I mean, we operate one of the leanest Department of Corrections of anywhere in the country. I think it's $27,000 a year per inmate. It's really, really good compared mm-hmm. to most of the other states. So Dub Byers took the chair because Benny Magnus got out in December.
Okay.
Well, the very first meeting, they made an appeal or an amendment to have a re-election for the board, for the chair. And they just brutally took it over. So they did a vote. There was four guys that were, three of them were appointed by Sanders, and the fourth one, he just drank the Kool-Aid, I guess, I would say. So they took over the seven-member board. So they voted for Jamie Barker to be the chair, Nathan Lee, which come from Cole Jester's office. Also, I think he joined the state police, got a $5,000 bonus from the taxpayers, and quit. And then Boyce Homlett, which was with the state police for some time, and Tom Mars at some point had to fire him because he cheated on the exam. He couldn't even pass the exam.
Oh, gosh.
And then Alonzo Giles was the other one. He didn't sound like he wanted to vote for it. It was kind of a weird thing if you ever get a chance to listen back to it. So them guys voted for them three to be chair, vice chair, and secretary. It was very, very upsetting to watch corruption. And the very first thing they do, they fired the attorney that was protecting the Board of Corrections because Tim Griffin failed to do his job as an attorney general. And so Tim Griffin is swore an oath to protect the boards. But whenever Joe Porfiri, I'm gonna go in a big old waterfall here, Quinn, so you gotta stop me if I get too far ahead. So Joe Porfiri was hired in, I believe it was 22, from Sarah Sanders, come from Arizona, which he had a lot of crime against him for being corrupt and just a bad person over there and doing crazy things, was what the news article reads. And so the Board of Corrections, he wanted to do illegal things here. He wanted to overload the cells with less correction officers. So then the Board of Corrections says, no, we're not going to do that. So they fired the secretary.
And that's when he got hired by Sanders.
Almost $200,000 a year job working in the governor's office.
Board fires him.
Yep. And she hires him for $200,000 a year. And now he's exempt from FOIA. He's the one that's headed the prison project. And we see nothing, absolutely nothing this guy does. Well, so then they start with a separation of power because the governor still wants to overcome the Board of Corrections. Mm-hmm. Benny Magnus stood his ground, went out, got an attorney. Yes, and after two years of fighting it, the Board of Corrections won. Well, guess what? Jamie Barker gets in there day one, fires their attorney, says, we're not paying you.
Oh, my God.
That is the kind of people we work for. You don't make handshake deals like that with anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is not Arkansas. Mm-hmm. That is not what we do. If you say you're going to do something, you do it.
Right.
And so I'm very disappointed in my state government. Mm-hmm. I've lost complete trust in a majority of the legislators. And the only way we're going to get that back is if we get the three branches of government back in place, let legislators legislate, judges judge, and the executives to make sure that everything goes like it's supposed to. And if we could get that, I think we could turn this state around.
Yes.
We could fix the economy. We could fix the crime. We could fix the education. It's all going to come together. But we're going to put more local control back, too.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability is going to be the main thing is to hold people accountable for what they do. And when we elect people and put them in positions, they need to be accountable for what they do.
Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
Well, it depends. So if it's the people's vote, then you're just going to have to make sure that the people's going to have to make sure that they're doing what they say they'll do.
Right.
Right? Because you can't do anything with elected officials. But appointees, you can do stuff with because they're expendable. You know, if you put an appointee over something, then they don't do what they're supposed to be doing, then they go down the road.
Yeah.
You know, it's running a business is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever ran a business and your business stays in the red every month, red every month, just like our learns, our education system.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Oliva, I believe that's if I say his last name.
Oliva,
right? Oliva. He's been in the red every month. Red every month. What happens with the business when you get in the red every month? The business shuts down.
Yes.
Now, we're not going to shut the Board of Education down, but we do have to do something. I was looking online the other day, and I think we have right around 256 folks working for the Department of Education. Do you know that?
No, 33. I didn't know the
it adds
number.
Up to $33 million, but we rank lowest in the nation. Low in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You would know this answer better than anybody.
Well, it's a long answer though.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
But it's going to take professionals and people that understand public education.
Mm-hmm.
Not private school, because that's the first thing she did was appointed the principal from.
Little Rock Christian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She appointed that principal over the Board of Education's too. He got a little spot in there.
Mm-hmm.
and that's where her kids go.
Yeah.
It's all coincidence. Mm-hmm. But we need public educators to be overseeing these things to help the public schools.
Yes.
Because private schools, I mean, they're great. I'm not taking anything away, but they don't know the pains and the misery of the poverty families, of the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they see the kids in the nice clothes, the new pair of shoes, the bringing their own lunches, you know, not the kids that we know.
Right. They don't have to take everybody.
Nope.
So Colt, let's talk about some of the policies, you know, what's your platform? If you're, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, my head is spinning talking to you. You're a smart guy.
Well, no, I've just got a lot built up.
But, well, I tell you what it reminds me of. I have been kind of obsessed with this Epstein business lately. Yeah. And I started trying to, you know, I started reading a little bit about it, and I really felt for those victims, and I just could hardly believe that how corrupt this thing was. And I just, it was, you know, I think you said it was just like I just went down a rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been writing about it in my column, trying to kind of unravel it, because I figure there's a lot of readers who are kind of in the same boat as me, who like kind of want to understand the timeline and the bare bones of the story, but it's just so huge.
It's big.
Yes. And I mean, it has taken my life force for the last few weeks of just trying to sort it out in my brain. And that's what it reminds me of when I listen to you talk. It's like, yeah, it's you awesome. Opened this box and just started learning about all of it, and it's just like stuffed into your head and coming out when you're talking. So let's try to, and that's great, because I think that is, we got to have people who understand the big picture, and who, you know, you've not been, I mean, I was the same way when I ran for office. I had not been engaged. I had just trusted, you know, legislators to do their job, and politicians, and I'm doing my job, you know, teaching and parenting or whatever. But, you know, you've decided to dig into this, and you're trying to get your head around the big picture. And I commend you for that, and I'm impressed with how much you've done and how much you know and understand. But let's try to reduce this down for folks who want to know, like, what your priorities are, and what would you do to make life better in Arkansas? Maybe like three things.
Oh, so many as a governor. Three. But you know, priorities. I know I got to put down to three. But we got a lot, and it's so hard not to express all of them at once.
Yes.
But I think the three that everybody's told me, I had to have three. You got to have three. But I've got like 300.
Yes.
But I think access is going to be a major one. And that's going to help us save a lot of money.
Okay, what do you mean when you say access?
So I think, you know, in also in 22, 23, our FOIA got mm-hmm. covered up.
Yes.
So now you can't find anything out through the governor's office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where we need to be finding things out. I understand somebody's safety and security, but I mean, our governor has a pretty good security team around her, right? I mean, they got mm-hmm. Tahoes full of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't feel like we're using it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if I pay taxes and you pay taxes, then they shouldn't have anything to hide.
Right.
So why not, if I send in a FOIA request, let us know.
Right.
If I want to know, who have you talked to through the Department of Corrections? Who have you talked to through the Board of Education? Who have mm-hmm. you talked to through whatever it may be, the Agriculture Department?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what kind of deals were made.
Yeah.
I deserve
it's fair.
That.
It's fair.
That shouldn't be hidden from us. So that's access. Mm-hmm. And that's going to help us out, find a lot of things out. I think we're going to save a lot of money. I think we could save a whole lot of money when we find that out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the jail might get more full when we find that stuff out. I mean, you don't know. Yeah. You know, you never know. It might not, but I have a really good feeling when that government, when we can open up that FOIA, we see what's going on behind closed doors. I think mm-hmm. Arkansas is going to be a little surprised. And there's going to be probably a few more cells filled up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing is, like I said earlier, the accountability.
Yes.
We need to hold these people accountable. If we're in the red, then we're losing. We're not running a good business, and we got to run the state like a business, and not just financially, but women's health, infant mortality. Infant mortality is awful. Gwen.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine? And a lot of it's just the education that, that these families receive. They weren't raised, you know, maybe they didn't know that you about SIDS, or they didn't know that how to buckle a kid down in the car seat, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, these are cheap lessons. You usually learn this mm-hmm. at church.
Yeah.
You know, put a church group together. So accountability and these things that we're failing in, and we appoint people in those positions, making sure that we are holding them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we give local control, which is what I believe most Arkansans want,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to hold the school boards accountable. We're going to hold the quorum courts accountable, the county judge accountable. And I think they want it.
Yeah. How do you do that?
Well, we got to give them more resources.
Okay.
You know, you got to have resources. You got to give them more money. Let them fix the issues.
Okay.
It's going to take money. We're light years behind in money.
Yeah.
And you
raise taxes. What do you do?
No, I don't think we'll have to raise taxes. I think we can redirect funds from wasted expenditures in our own government,
mm-hmm.
just like they did with LEARNS. Where'd that $350 million come from?
Oh, there's so much we could have done in public schools with that money.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, where'd the money come from, right? It's mm-hmm. taxpayers. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going to be surplus. They mm-hmm. was going to redirect it somewhere.
Right.
So that was a great indicator. We have lots of tunnels that we could travel through to get to where we can help our elderly,
mm-hmm.
where we can help our kids,
yes,
where we can help our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And
so access.
The third one is the
affordability. And affordability.
So.
Okay.
It is so expensive. I mean, Arkansas, the average salary is $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
But our insurance rates, our groceries, our car payments, our house payments, our interest on our farm loans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read an article last week that we got more Chapter 33s than any farm anywhere in the U.S.
Yeah.
We're losing our farms,
yes.
Gwen.
Yes, we are.
And what is the state doing?
Mm-hmm.
What have they done to help?
Because
mm-hmm. I don't see it.
No.
I know I went to pay my farm payment. I have bills just like everybody else. And my interest went from, and this was my neglect. I knew it went up, but I didn't know it was going to be that big a difference. But it went up $10,000 unexpectedly.
Wow.
Right? In 1 year's time from 4% to 8%.
Yeah.
So I was like, whew. It's like, let me go think about this.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I got to pay it.
Yeah.
You know, I signed the deal. I want the farm.
Sure.
I want the land. I got to pay it. But
mm-hmm.
we've got to find ways to give the farmers the breaks that the big corporations are getting.
Yeah.
You know, why do solar panels not have to pay taxes on their property?
Mm-hmm.
But our farmers do? Are we looking at this thing right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we funding things that people don't want in communities? Data centers.
Yeah.
You know, without educating them. Now, if people want it on their land, fantastic. That's your mm-hmm. right. But we need the right education going. Because what comes with data centers?
Mm-hmm.
Supply and demand. Energy.
Water. It's very loud.
The noise.
You
some of them are.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, but the community, if they're informed properly, and our legislators should be doing this.
Yeah,
I think
that's one reason they don't. Somebody wants that data center there, and they know if the people know about it, they're not going to want it. I did a story about this down in DeWitt a few years ago, you know, and this thing came in there. Nobody really knew what was going on. And then the noise was just awful, and there's just kind of weird stuff going on around there, and the just really upset the people, and their electric grid, you know, was taxed. And so I think, you know, a lot of this stuff is, you know, they think they can just come in here and fool, you know, these.
Well, it is. We're the bargain bin state.
Country people. They're
using us for a bargain bin,
mm-hmm.
Gwen. And because they know that, you know, we're just that good old country boy. You know, we're getting, oh, you give me $10,000 an acre? Well, I gave $1,000 an acre.
Yeah.
I'm making a lot of money. But the problem is, that, you know why they're not doing it in Louisiana and Mississippi and East Texas? Because it's already $10,000 an acre.
Yeah.
They're getting a bargain here. It's not because we're selling Arkansas better. It's because our land's cheaper. And we get all these people just taking advantage of it. You know, they actually make good solar panels that makes your ground still usable. But we're using the cheap solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna use a friend of mine from Paris of what solar panels do. Yet again, anybody has the right to do whatever they want on their own property. But when you start damaging your neighbors, that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's runoff, and I don't want an IDA or anything coming in. We want local control, right,
mm-hmm.
before we make these big decisions. So this solar panel company was actually, it was Bill Halter. I don't know if you know, he was an old attorney general, I think, here in Arkansas. And he bought 80 acres next to one of my friend's properties. Well, he paid 10,000 acre for some of it, and he paid 20,000 acre for some of it. So now land goes off comps, right? So the land value's more. So the property tax goes up. So now your property tax goes, this guy doesn't have to pay property taxes because he has solar panels on it. But the neighbors off the comps, now his price is through the roof, and he has to pay that the rest of his life or move.
Yeah.
But who's going to want to live in a, would you rather have this beautiful meadow, you know where we live.
Yes.
Or would you rather have this beautiful solar panel farm sticking out your window? But there are ways to avoid the view, and there's deals to be made.
Yeah.
Right? You could say, hey, I want 10 acres. I talked to a guy that does a solar panel. He's like, I want 10 acres of pine trees or pear trees between me and them solar panels, so I won't even know they're there. Mm-hmm. And you could do that. Mm-hmm. And those are the kind of deals that need to be made. Those are the neighborly things to do. Those are the morally correct things, you know. And that's something I would also like to bring in is with our ethics in our state politics. And I think that we need a good group of people that are honest and have access to the FOIA, to the documents. And we shouldn't have anything to hide.
You know, something I love is your focus on rural Arkansas. You know,
that's all most of Arkansas is.
It is. It really is. But, you know, there's a lot of things that are damaging our rural communities. You know, they don't seem to, you know, that's part of my beef about schools. You know, you take a school out of a little community, you kind of take just suck the life out of it, you know, the heart and soul. And how would you attract business and industry to help some of our communities, you know, revitalize?
Well, I would want to do it the right way, right? Like you would want your county judges involved and your senators, and you would pick what do you guys want? Who wants to grow first? Mm-hmm. Where can we grow and who wants to grow? Not just find a place on a map and put a dot there. Just
right.
Who wants it? Because there are places that want to grow.
Yeah.
And so you take it from there, and then we're going to have to invest in that place. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, well, your water infrastructure is not good. What can we attract with this? Would it be a livestock barn, whether it be a kill plant for Tyson, whatever it may be that the community wants, come together and then start making it look attractive.
Like the steel and the...
Yep, you have in the Delta, yeah,
lithium.
Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be the same way, but we would have the infrastructure there first.
Yes.
You know, Northwest Arkansas does a really good job about that. You know, they tend to manage their business pretty good on that aspect, but they also have a lot of rules that come with it. You know, there's a lot of red tape to start a business up here. And so for your towns, we're going to have to, I mean, we've got to make it easier on our small businesses. Mm-hmm. Have you been to a mall lately?
Not much.
No, nobody goes anymore. But all the bays are empty now.
Yeah.
And so that tells you we're failing our small businesses. A really neat story. So I was in Hot Springs, and I'm Truett, my youngest son, he wanted ice cream. So we go down. It was a guy's trip. And we go down there, and the first ice cream parlor we go in, she's 20 years old, had this little bitty cubbyhole for an ice cream thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a rolled ice cream. I've never seen that before either. But anyway, she was 20 years old, started her own business, and just opened it up that day.
Huh?
Yeah. So I wish I remembered the name of it I'd advertised for. But anyway, it's so good. But then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking the taxes, the insurance. You know, this girl's 20 years old and wants to be successful at an ice cream business. Mm-hmm. But we have so much red tape that for her to do it the right way, it's going to be impossible.
Yeah.
So we have to make those things possible. And I love seeing a young person want to succeed at something like that. But I think we set them up for failure.
Yeah. Well, Colt, I sure do wish you well. What's the timeline look like here?
Oh, what's that?
In this race, what have you got ahead of you?
Oh, man, I've got a lot. You know, it's a lot just to try to be a candidate. And,
yes.
You know, signing up isn't the easiest thing in the world. You went through it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I just want to work hard. I'm going to work my full job to the last 60 days, and then I'll take the last 60 days off, but I'm going to be traveling my 2 weeks. I got my dad with me. He's my he's my ride or die, even though he's a little aggravating sometimes. He's not a very good driver either. He travels everywhere with me. We're going to go all over the state. We go to different places, but hopefully we get to meet some good people and get the name out there and find out what people want, right? Yes. Like what, you know, and it isn't just the rural areas. I know I focus most on that because that's what I've grown up in. Mm-hmm. So I've got a lot to learn about the cities and the towns and the bigger towns, but I'm willing to learn, and I don't think anybody's going to know better what they need than the local officials. Mm-hmm. So that is my plan, to make sure I'm speaking with county judges, sheriffs, and the locals, getting the full story.
Keep it local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is my full goal in the next 8 months.
Well, thank you for stepping out there and being willing to serve.
Well, no problem. Easy.
I sure wish you all the best.
I'm going to need it.
Appreciate it.
You know, when I win in November 3rd, I want to thank everybody ahead of time. Should I wait on that?
No.
And it'll be, we're gonna have a good time at that mansion.
Just turn things up.
You know, that's another thing that kind of comes with it. The mansion, I really like where I live, so we're going to have to work on something there.
Yeah. I think you could work remotely.
I think I could. I'll go to Little Rock anytime. Yeah. You know, I've already talked to more legislators than our current governor. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Or you might go back and forth a little
bit.
Yeah,
do a 2 week at home, 2 week at the
Little Rock. Well, if Arkansas is ready for something different, I think we definitely have the choice here.
Well, I'm definitely different.
Yeah.
So I hope to not let anybody down.
Good difference. Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Gwen. What solar panels do.
And thank
you
for listening.
Anybody has the right to start damaging your neighbors, that's an issue. Mm-hmm. Whether it's runoff, and I don't want an IDA or anything coming in. We want local control, right, before we make these big decisions. So this solar panel company, it was Bill Halter. I don't know if you know, he was an old attorney general, I think, here in Arkansas. And he bought 80 acres next to one of my friends.